Hey people, this is the Conspiracy Oz podcast. I'm your host Mick Raven. It is Wednesday the 27th of December 2023. This is a review covering alternative news and events. You can call +61 02 800 6198 anytime. Drop me an email at conspiracyoz@protonmail.com. Go to the website conspiracyoz.com. Download the podcast from iTunes, Spotify, or podomatic.com and get with the D program. So I'm going to jump straight into the COVID rats of Oz. And this one is Dr. Jeanette Young. This is a Queenslander that took over the reins of Chief Medical Officer in Queensland, the state of Australia, during those terrible years. So this is one not to be sidestepped because she got rewarded very well, people. Now, this is her Wikipedia. I'm just going to go straight to the – I'm not going to go into the history of the person itself, but what happened while she was in control during the COVID years. And guess what, people? You know how some of them have nothing? Well, this is all it has. This is all it has, people. It's got – she gained prominence during the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, holding multiple press briefings regarding the disease. Her recommendation to the Palaszczuk government to close the state's borders, which was implemented, proved controversial as she received numerous death threats and was placed under police protection in September 2020. And it says, on the 21st of June 2021, the Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk announced Young would become the 27th Governor of Queensland. The incumbent Governor Paul Di Jersey was due to retire in July, 2021, but extended his term until November to allow Young to focus on the COVID-19 vaccine rollout as Chief Health Officer. Now, there's a lot of anomalies with this one. This is a really dangerous one, but there's a lot of rabbit holes as well. I don't want to go down all of them, but I'll just, what we're trying to do here with this COVID Rats of Oz is expose the ones that actually caused and abided the globalist elites and their agenda to push us into one of the worst periods in Australian history, where we were actually controlled from the outside for an agenda that is still coming, and we actually fell for it. Most of Australia obeyed, and most of Australia is still obeying. But it's going to come out in the wash. But this is a classic, this one. And again, the Wikipedia is tiny. For someone that's promoted so quickly, for doing so much damage in such a short time, because she didn't last that long in while she was at the reins, but the damage she caused was irreparable, which is hence the death threats. So let's get into it. Let's get into Dr. Jeanette Young, who's now the governor of Queensland. You can't make this stuff up, people. So she's been around for a long time, people. She was the Chief Health Officer for Queensland from 2005 onwards. So we're talking about someone that is in total control and used to having total control. She was also a professor at the Queensland University, which is where, you know, people like Bill Gates funded for, you know, some of his experiments he was doing with live mosquitoes when he released a bunch of genetically modified ones in cans without telling them, of course. But that's all behind, and we'll have to get into that can of worms another day. But either way, she has been around for a long time, and there's a site here that says a whole lot of them, Ronnie. This was the members of council, 2015 to 2018, and it was like a meeting between them all. And it's just amazing to see how many of them are on here that I'm reporting on, people. You've got like people like Brendan Murphy's in there. People like Dr. Kerry Chant is in this one meeting. Jeanette Young's there, of course. And then there's also people like Dr. Paul Kelly. I mean, it's just like a round table of the who's who of the COVID class of 19, and also Professor Michael Kidd, who I'll mention another time. It's just, you can't make it up, people. It's just like they've all lined up ready for the big thing that's coming. Anyway, the next story off the back, so I don't want to get tied up too much on each one because I realise I'm wasting a lot of time on certain figures. So on this one, not going to delve in too far, but when I hit the nail on the head, you'll go, oh, because there are too many dots to join just on this one person. So this is from apnews.com, and it came out on September the 14th, 2020. So we're, you know, smack in the middle of this pandemic. Headline: Australian official under police guard over virus measures. So it says Canberra, Australia, an Australian health official revealed Monday that she has been under police guard because of death threats and growing public anger over pandemic border restrictions. Queensland State Chief Health Officer Jeanette Young said she now travels with a police escort because of the threats. It has taken an enormous toll on me. But then this has taken an enormous toll on nearly every single person in our community, Young told reporters. Well, I wonder why. It says every single person in our community in Queensland has had to give up an awful lot. And we can't see a clear end to this. We can now, can't we, people? So we're going to all have to work through this together, she added. The Queensland state government has been under mounting criticism for making travellers spend 2 weeks in hotel quarantine when they cross the state border from other parts of Australia. The restrictions have led to a number of high-profile incidents, including one last week in which a woman was not allowed out of quarantine to attend her father's funeral. It says Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk, who incidentally rewarded this woman at the end of the people, blamed Young for that case, which the national government used to ramp up pressure on the state government to relax its border restrictions. It says the woman, Sarah Cassip, so this is what I reported on last week, had wanted to see her father, Bernard Pendergast, but didn't get a permit to travel from her home in Canberra until 2 days after he died. Canberra has not had a coronavirus case in more than 2 months. Prime Minister Scott Morrison, a Liberal Party member, made a personal appeal to Palaszczuk, a Labor Party member on the day of the funeral for Cassip, to be allowed to attend, an approach that the state premier described as intimidation and bullying. Cassip's stepsister Alexandra Pendergast on Monday accused Morrison of turning their father's funeral into a media circus to advance his political agenda, which they all are. That's what the politicians always do. And it says, your politics and media campaign against the Queensland Premier have made a devastating time for my family even harder. So, and this is she's writing this against the Prime Minister, who wanted her to the daughter to actually visit the father. And this is the other daughter saying, no, it's the Prime Minister's. Unbelievable. Cassip was allowed a private viewing of her father's body before he was cremated, welcomed the condolences from strangers that followed the media attention. She says, I came from virus-free Canberra, so the fact that I'm even in quarantine is beyond belief. But the fact that I am being denied my basic human rights to care for my grieving, stricken mother and little 11-year-old sister enrages, disgusts and devastates me at the same time. Cassip wrote in an open letter to Palaszczuk before the funeral. See, nothing happened. And this is it. I reported on that last week, and we know what happened to Palaszczuk. She's gone. Done a runner, just like Gunner and the others. And now it looks like this Jeanette Young has been rewarded, people. So she's going to be around for the next pandemic, and she's in a higher position than she was in before. So that's what we're saying. So anyway, reading on so we can get to the heart of it, because it's moved away from here onto the Premier. We'll see if we can get back to where it is. Here's this. Look at this. Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton has argued that Queensland tough restrictions are not based on medical advice, but are aimed at making political gains for the state government ahead of next month's election. He has been critical that Hollywood actor Tom Hanks has been allowed to quarantine in his resort of choice since he arrived in Queensland last week to shoot a movie at Gold Coast City. So there you go, people. Shooting at the Baz Luhrmann-directed movie about Elvis Presley was shut down in March when Hanks, who plays the singer's manager, Colonel Tom Parker, was diagnosed with the coronavirus. This is the guy that went out and going, go and get the shots, you pansies, you know, your pussies, I think he said. What are you thinking about all this now, Tom? Hey? Young wrote to the Australian government in June supporting the application for Hanks and 11 other cast and crew members from the United States, Britain and Italy to be allowed into the country. So there she is, letting these people come in to make big bucks for Queensland, when an actual person outside Queensland that did not have coronavirus wasn't allowed to see a dying father. These are the sort of people, they have no empathy, no ethics, no morality, people. They follow the dollar and the agenda, okay, to the end. Never forget it. So there you go. So I'm not going to get into the tit for tat, but wait till you find out what happens in the end with her and where this ended up. Then you're going to be really shocked because it gets worse, people. Much worse. Now, this is another ABC article, abc.net.au. Brett Sutton, now he's the Victorian Health Minister, which I'll get into as well, either today or the next week or so. They're all going to get done, every one of these. Three or four a week, as many as I can get, but there's quite a lot of them, actually. The list has grown. The class of COVID-19 is getting huge, people, and that's just the Australian class. So it says, Brett Sutton and Jeanette Young reveal the pressure of handling the coronavirus pandemic. March the 16th, 2021. It says, Victoria's Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton has opened up about the mental toll on shepherding the state through its coronavirus second wave and the heavy burden of knowing more people would die. Professor Sutton and Queensland Chief Health Officer Jeanette Young discussed the challenges of leading their state's coronavirus responses in a podcast from the medical regulator ARPRA. And so I'm not going to, I've seen if it's got a transcript. Yes, it has. So I'm not going to go into Brett Sutton's take on it, but I want to see what she says, because that's who we're targeting here. We want to know exactly what the death threats are all about. See if she tells the truth. So it says, nasty death threats and media at the door. It says, today marks a year since an unprecedented state of emergency was declared in Victoria, granting the Chief Health Officer widespread powers to enact restrictions and issue public health directives. It came more than a month after Dr. Young and the Queensland government declared a public health emergency on January the 29th. With their decisions affecting millions of people's lives, the previously invisible health bureaucrats emerged as unlikely household names. I did get some pretty nasty death threats, which were a bit awful, Dr. Young said. There were some people who felt so harmed by some of my decisions that they went to the extent, which was just awful to think that anyone thought that there wasn't a way to work through whatever it was that they felt they had been put in. Well, go and tell that to the woman who couldn't get to a father. That's just one example that we actually know about in the press tube media. And it says, a 70-year-old Sunshine Coast man faced court in January, accused of sending death threats to Dr. Young and Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk after missing a funeral due to COVID-19 restrictions. But Dr. Young said the response from police, and indeed 99% of Queenslanders, was just fantastic. This is what I'm saying, people. They write what they want to write in here to tell you, because remember, this is at the time when they all thought they were heroes and rock stars, like Dr. Paul Kelly said. I mean, basically, this article is about both of them, but basically you can just see that she's trying to brush it aside. There's a whole section here where she said, I was faced with difficult ethical issues at the start of 2020, where clinicians had to identify a plan for refusing care if hospitals became overwhelmed. These were all the fear that they pushed into people to run into the hospitals when half of them didn't have anything, probably PCR tests that were false, and while real people with real problems were denied access, people. And it says here that Queensland's strict border controls were in place for much of 2020, resulting in concerns and confusion over border rules that meant heart attack patients missed out on potentially life-saving treatment. These people virtually killed people with their decisions, people, based on nothing more than what they were told from the World Health Organization through Greg Hunt. Okay? That's what's happening here. But either way, she's in a perfect attack dog to carry out the orders. And she says here, I lost weight during the pressures of my job during the 2009 swine flu pandemic, and it nearly killed me. Well, it doesn't look like you're being killed now. So anyway, I'm not going to go on, but it says she had regular exercise and the support of her husband. Now, the husband is a big smoking gun, people. I'll tell you why. Now, this is a real smoking gun. Before she was pushing, this is the first vaccines that hit Queensland. The first ones to hit were obviously Pfizer and AstraZeneca. Now, she made the incredible statement at the time, and I'll just read this. This is incredible. But I'll read the headline, and then you got the answer in the headline, but you got to get to how it got to there. It's got revealed. Professor Graham Nimmo, that's her husband, Nimmo's history with drug company Pfizer, okay? As this came out in the couriermail.com.au, and it came out on August the 8th, 2021. So this is how far back. Remember, she got promoted. It says, the husband of Chief Health Officer Dr. Jeanette Young has served as an advisor to COVID-19 vaccine manufacturer Pfizer and received travel perks and other benefits from the drug giant. Discussion about the link has emerged on social media after Dr. Young said the AstraZeneca jab should not be given to people under 40 and only given to under 60s on medical advice, despite a study finding it had a similar safety profile to Pfizer. Now, at the time, AstraZeneca was getting blamed for the blood clots, as I mentioned last week, and everyone was swaying towards Pfizer. But in the end, they found that Pfizer had just as many blood clot problems as AstraZeneca, but it was too late. Public opinion had swayed, and she was one of the ones that helped to do it. Okay? So reading on, it says, her stance prompted a rebuke from Australia's Deputy Chief Health Medical Officer, Dr. Michael Kidd, who said another Southeast Asia Queensland was in the grip of a significant outbreak. The Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation this week reaffirmed previous advice that in a large outbreak, the benefits of a COVID-19 vaccine, AstraZeneca, are greater than the risk of rare side effects, potentially fatal blood clots, for all age groups. It says the Sunday Mail is not suggesting any conflict of interest over Dr. Young's stance or any link to her husband's work. Of course not. Absolutely not. Queensland Health says she does not perform work for the COVID-19 vaccine manufacturers. Well, her husband does. Or travel to conferences or receive speaking fees. No, but we're not talking about her. We're talking about the husband. She's married to him. Her husband is a respected microbiologist, Professor Graham Nimmo. No, they put respected in there. Who was Queensland's health state director of microbiology before retiring last year. So he's a government official working with Pfizer. Can you get any closer than that, people? It says, up until about a decade ago, Professor Nimmo served on advisory boards for Pfizer and other drug companies, Novartis and Bio, looks like Merilu. And it says, or Meru, I can't even spell it. Novartis earlier this year announced a deal to produce the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine to help meet wide world demand. It's all a cabal. I mean, if you can't see this now, people, for what it is and what happened, surely you can now. If you couldn't before, because this is blatantly obvious what has happened. All the dots have been connected very easily. It's not even conspiracy theory stuff. So it says, documents show that Pfizer and Novartis paid Professor Nimmo's travel and accommodation costs to attend the 2011 Antimicrobial Resistance Summit in Sydney in 2011. So he was a favoured guy almost more than a decade and a half ago. It says, a health source said Professor Nimmo was also believed to perform work for the company which merged with AstraZeneca. A Queensland health spokesman said Dr. Young, who was appointed chief health officer in 2005, did not attend the conference with her husband. Oh no. Dr. Young does not perform work for drug companies involved in COVID-19 vaccine production. She does not travel to conferences or accept any speaking fees from drug companies involved in COVID-19 vaccine production. I mean, she just has to poo-poo them. Everyone runs to the other one. So it says the most significant vaccine work Dr. Young has done was working with the University of Queensland. Good old Bill Gates has funded Queensland University. She received no payment or consideration for this work beyond her regular salary, which is about $500,000 a year. It's pretty regular, isn't it? It is not uncommon for public servants and academics to have conference attendance costs covered by organisers or sponsors. No, nothing to see here, people. It's just incredible. It's incredible how she went one way and then fully the other way. And you wonder why she got death threats. And it says, Dr. Young this week clarified her position on vaccine suitability, saying Atagi had changed its advice for not recommending people under 60 have the AstraZeneca jab to saying they could if they lived in an outbreak area and had medical advice. If you are under 60 years of age, the advice is very clear that you should go and talk to your GP and work through with your GP. If you aren't able to access Pfizer because you're not in the priority group, whether you should be accessing AstraZeneca, it's a personal choice and one that needs to be made. It's just insane how these people get away with and then get promoted. And then no one notices them anymore. And they're earning more money for doing absolutely horrible things, obviously horrible things. So I just thought I'd point that out, that this one was one of the ones at the time that made everyone go Pfizer. And you remember when everyone went, oh, I don't want AstraZeneca. I want to go Pfizer. Pfizer for the win. Now, there was a story I put up quite a while ago. Now, I'm not sure what year I put it up in. I'm going to actually have to try and figure out when I did this actual story. So I'm just going to see if I can nail the time. So it would have been around October 2021 when I put up something that came from cairnsnews.org. It was the real reason COVID won't go away. So it was a big chart. And on the chart it had, and I'm only going to talk about her because Palaszczuk's on there too, but there are other people, but I don't want to get into them until I get to them. But it's got, the husband is advisor for Pfizer. This is Jeanette Young, Dr. Jeanette Young, director of Queen's Pathology, intergenomic sequencing, founding member of the Australian Society for Antimicrobials. So that's her, and that's who we're talking about now. Now, Palaszczuk last week, I've already mentioned this, but it's in this story, so I'll just mention it quickly because we've already talked about her. It says, father is chairman of gene therapy DNA storage company making millions in deals with China to harvest DNA from COVID tests. And it says, remember, this doesn't fit the criteria of a vaccine. So in other words, this is to do with data being sold off to China at the time from the Queensland government. Can't verify, but this was a story that came out that I attached to conspiracyoz.com back in October 2021, when we really didn't know what was going to happen, people. We didn't know where we were going to end up. So here it is here. And it's got, I mean, and I'm going to talk about Dr. John Skerrick too, the head of TGA today. So I'll just mention him quickly now on this particular article that come out. And I will put all the links up. I haven't put anything up yet, people, because this is big. When this goes up, they all go up. Okay, so this is a really big story. This is the class of COVID-19, the COVID rats of Oz. So it says for Dr. John Skerrick, this is the head of the Therapeutic Goods Administration at the time, head of the TGA removed ingredients from vaccine inserts, banned life-saving treatment for COVID, gave provisional approval for vaccine without the FDA approval, and cannot provide evidence vaccines are safe and effective. Well, we know that he's going to rebuke half of what was just said then. But when I get to his story, then we'll get both sides of the story, not just the prostitute media side. Now, the head of the TGA, the Therapeutic Goods Administration in Australia, is a huge can of worms on his own. Because this is the guy just down from the Federal Health Minister, Greg Hunt at the time, to issue out the assurances that they've got it right because he said so. So Dr. John Skerrick, right in the middle of it, probably one of the top people to blame for the COVID-19 pandemic because he also shielded the adverse reactions, took the ingredients out of the Pfizer jab, lots of things that this guy did that was smoke and mirrors and shrouded in secrecy. And this is one of the main things that happened. If you go to conspiracyoz.com like I have, you're going to see that there was a petition put up to fight the TGA. Okay, so they hired a solicitor. It was a class action against COVID-19 vaccine-related injuries. And it says, the NR Barbie Solicitor Proprietary Limited has filed a class action against the Australian government. The Department of Health and Aged Care Secretary Dr. Brendan Murphy, retired, and Deputy Secretary of Health Products Regulation Group Professor John Skerrick, also done a runner. Very scarce. Skerrick. It says, in the Federal Court of Australia, on behalf of the lead applicant and other COVID-19 vaccination injured parties, it says, to recover compensation for injuries obtained as a result of taking one or more COVID-19 vaccines. It says the applicant alleges that the respondent's actions to advance the acceptance and use of the various approved COVID-19 vaccines constitutes negligence and or misfeasance. They further allege that such negligence misfeasance caused class members to suffer loss or damage, including but not limited to 1. Personal injury, 2. Healthcare expenses, 3, additional out-of-pocket expenses. 4, economic loss. 5, the need for gratuitous care and additionally or alternatively commercial care. And or 6, non-economic loss. So the recent update, now this is way back in April, 26th of April 2023, it said, at this time, we continue to accept registrations, because that's what this was. It's still a widget on the left-hand side of conspiracyelves.com. It's still there, but it's still, you know, I'll read on and then you'll get the full picture. At this time, we continue to accept registrations of interest for potential group members, and no deadline has yet been set by which registrations must close. It says, we also confirm no opt-out deadline has been set by the court at this stage. This is back in April. The following is a brief overview of the progress of the matter to date. So it starts on the 26th of April. It says, the applicants filed an originating application, statement of claim, and genuine step statement to commence the class action. So it sounds like you can still join it, people, even though I've got it up there. But let me get to the end of it, and then you'll understand what I'm getting at. It says, on the 28th of April 2023, the applicants filed an amended originating application. On the 12th of May 2023, the first, second, third, and fifth respondents filed a notion of address for service stating that the Australian Government solicitors acts for them. 24th of May 2023, the court set the initial case management hearing date for the 5th of June 2023. Now, remember, Skerrick did a runner, people. And so did Brendan Murphy. So it's very interesting that the guys that navigated the COVID hoax did runners when the court action started. Okay. 30th of May 2023, the fourth respondent filed a notice of address for service stating that the Australian Government solicitor acts for them. On the 30th of May 2023, the respondents sought an adjournment of the initial case management hearing date to the 10th of July 2023 due to the breadth of the amended statement of claim and the novelty of the claims in negligence and misfeasance in public office. And on the 31st of May 2023, the court adjourned the initial case management hearing date to the 10th of July 2023. On the 5th of July 2023, in advance of the initial case management hearing, the respondents proposed consent orders and a position paper for the applicants and raised concerns regarding the applicant's amended statement of claim. So on the 6th of July 2023, in response to the respondents' proposed orders and position paper, the applicants proposed consent orders and a joint position paper, including the respondent's position and adding the applicant's position to the respondents. The respondents proposed further amendments to the consent orders back and forwards. On the 7th of July 2023, the parties agreed on draft consent orders and proposed them to Her Honour, Katzman J. Her Honour made the orders. As part of these orders, the initial case management hearing scheduled for the 10th of July 2023 had been vacated. The parties will instead proceed on the basis outlined in the orders. A copy of the same can be accessed here. These orders are a positive step forward as they give the applicants the opportunity to further amend their pledgings before a case management hearing, which occurs on the 20th of November 2023. So you can see this is getting almost up to date with what's happened with this court case. This is a serious thing, people. These are people taking the federal government and the Therapeutic Goods Administration to court on the COVID-19 hoax. It says, on the 11th of August 2023, the parties agreed on amended draft consent orders and proposed them to Her Honour, Katzman J. Her Honour made the new orders. The new orders amend the orders of the 7th of July 2023 by moving each deadline back by 2 weeks. This change was proposed by the applicants to allow counsel for the applicants more time to amend the statement of claim. A copy of the amended orders can be accessed below, which there is a link to all these, both those orders, people. And the case management hearing will now take place on the 4th of December 2023, which is just passed. So it says, and it goes on, and this is a big thing. So you go to the widget bar of the left-hand side of conspiracyelves.com and you'll see this. Click on it and it'll take you to exactly what I've read out. And it's got this, am I eligible to join the class action? And it says class actions typically function on an opt-out basis, meaning that all class members will be bound by the case's outcome unless they opt out by a date set by the court. It says you are likely to form part of the ascertainable class if you, one, were injected with Comirnaty product sponsored by the Pfizer Australia Proprietary Limited, the Pfizer vaccine, at any time on or after the 25th of January 2021. Two, the Pfizer vaccine product produced in the formulation for pediatric use in children aged 5 to 11 years of age, sponsored by Pfizer Australia Proprietary Limited, the Pfizer child vaccine, at any time on or after the 3rd of December 2021. And then three, it says Vax Zevria, product sponsored by AstraZeneca Proprietary Limited, the AstraZeneca vaccine, at any time on or after the 15th of February 2021. And it says four, the SpikeVax product sponsored by Moderna. It's funny how they changed all their names, didn't they, people? Moderna Australia Proprietary Limited, the Moderna vaccine, at any time on or after the 9th of August 2021. And five, the Moderna vaccine product produced in formulation for pediatric use in children, A, age 6 to 11 years, the Moderna child vaccine, and B, age 6 months to 5 years, the Moderna infant vaccine. And it says, on or after as to, one, the Pfizer vaccine, 25th of January 2021, two, the Pfizer child vaccine, 3rd of December 2021, three, the AstraZeneca vaccine, 15th of February 2021, the Moderna vaccine, four, 9th of August 2021, and five, the Moderna child vaccine, 17th of February 2022, six, the Moderna infant vaccine, 19th of July 2022. So you need to go to this, people. Don't just listen to me talk about it. If you have a problem with any of these vaccines, this is what you need to go to. This is the class action that's going to compensate everyone for the COVID hoax that happened in those 3 years. And it says, moving on to the next section, it says, in Australia and by a suitably qualified, one, medical practitioner, two, health practitioner, health professional, sorry, or three, any other person legally qualified or authorized to administer the vaccines, and it says are suffering a serious adverse event either partly or wholly by reason of the injection. Such serious adverse event being one or more of the following events. These are vaccine-induced serious adverse event. Now, you know what the top one is, don't you, people? Number one, death. Number two, a life-threatening event. Number three, an event which required an inpatient hospitalization. Four, an event which prolonged existing hospitalization. Five, an event which resulted in persistent or significant disability or incapacity, including permanent impairment of a body function or permanent damage to a body structure. And then it moves on. An event which necessitated medical or surgical intervention to prevent permanent impairment of a body function or permanent damage to a body structure. And it says caused a congenital anomaly, birth defect, or stillbirth. Serious stuff, people. Was a medically important event. Was an event that made one or more of the outcomes above more likely. Or was an event that required intervention to prevent one or more of the above outcomes, including events that required intensive treatment in an emergency department or at home, but did not result in hospitalization. Now, it says if you believe you fall into one of those above categories, this means you may be a class member. It says only class members who opt out of the proceedings may be able to commence separate but similar litigation in their state or territory. NR Barbie Solicitor Proprietary Limited does not represent you in relation to separate individual claims, and we recommend that you seek independent legal advice for further information about opting out or commencing your own proceedings. See, so once you lock into this class action, they won't let you go into any other sort of class actions or other sort of proceedings. So you have to opt out if that becomes the problem. So this is a big deal, people. This is what I've been following since it started. Now, that was a petition put up on conspiracyoz.com way back then. We're talking like back in April 2022. And there was a news.com story that came out about it to sort of let everyone know what was happening. I'll just grab that story. And then there was another petition too, and I want to talk about that as well. The one by Meryl Dorry from the Australian Vaccination Network, which was a give, send, go donation to hire their own solicitors to fight the TGA on another front. So it's got here, this is the original petition I was just talking about. It says, waiting to drown, COVID vaccine injury class action filed against the federal government. This is in April the 27th, 2023. And it goes on to tell a story about Gareth O'Grady, a previously healthy father of two, was forced to make an extreme decision after a horror diagnosis left doctors stumped. It said, for Gareth O'Grady, the 20-centimetre scar on his chest serves as a constant reminder that his life will never be the same after the COVID vaccine. It says, the Melbourne teacher, a previously healthy father of two who was into running, footy, cricket and tennis, had part of his heart removed in February last year as an extreme last resort after 7 months bedridden and in constant pain. Mr. O'Grady, 41, developed severe pericarditis, inflammation of the lining around the heart, soon after receiving his first Pfizer vaccine in July 2021. It says, 6 days after the vaccination, I had sudden onset chest pain, shortness of breath, fever, chills, sweats. He said, I'd never known what a heart attack would feel like, but that's the type of thing I expected. He was rushed to hospital and soon diagnosed with vaccine-induced pericarditis. Over the subsequent months, unable to work, he spent 90 days in and out of hospital and was placed on a raft of different medications and therapies to no avail. It came back quite badly in February 2022, and I was in hospital for 35 days. That's when the surgery took place, he said. In the end, I had open-heart surgery to remove the pericarditis, which had been inflamed and stuck in my heart. It's extreme. All the heads of different departments, cardiology, rheumatology, and cardiothoracic, all had conferences to say, we've tried this, and what is the next step for this recurrent pericarditis? We can't control the pain. So it wasn't an easy decision. They said, nothing is working. This is what we can offer. So Mr. O'Grady is one of the three lead applicants on the landmark COVID vaccine injury class action lawsuit filed in federal court on Wednesday. He is one of the many unhappy about his treatment by the federal government's COVID vaccine claims scheme. It's got Anthony Rose, 46, another lead applicant, had experienced incapacitating fatigue and debilitating neurological symptoms following Moderna. But without a definitive link to the vaccine or even a proper diagnosis, he is on his own. This is what happened to people. He says, I'm treading water, waiting to drown, basically, said Mr. Rose. The former construction management worker and amateur martial artist began experiencing severe stabbing chest pains within 24 hours of the vaccine in October 2021, which progressed into serious neurological issues over the next 2 weeks. Basically blacking out, collapsing, getting severe head pressure, he said. Neurological tests were unable to pinpoint the cause of his symptoms, which continue to this day, leaving him out of work and on the brink of homelessness. According to Mr. Rose, he can't handle 3 or 4 hours per day of light activity, such as walking around the house or talking before my brain just shuts down. This is terrible. These are people that were completely healthy before that, people. He says, I've only got a limited amount of function, then it just completely shuts down with seizure-like activity. He says, tremors, my legs go, speech goes, vision goes, he says. I've done everything, all sorts of therapies, hyperbaric chambers, functional neurologists, where they had me on all sorts of machines. I've exhausted every medical avenue. And it says, if the rent goes up or anything changes in the slightest, I'm basically homeless. So there you go. These are two people. So they're doing a class action. The class action is organised and crowdfunded by Queensland GP Dr. Melissa McCann. Takes aim at the Commonwealth Government and the Therapeutic Goods Administration, along with a number of senior public servants, alleging negligence, breach of statutory duty, and misfeasance in public office. It says the suit alleges that the respondents approved the vaccines with no proper or reasonable evidentiary or logical basis to reasonably determine the vaccines to be safe, effective, and possessing a positive risk-benefit profile. Says the action will argue that the Therapeutic Goods Administration did not fulfill their duty to properly regulate the COVID-19 vaccines, resulting in considerable harm and damage to Australians. It says Natalie Stirland from the NR Barbie solicitor said in a statement. She said the action arises upon the basis that the government did not truly establish that the vaccines were indeed safe or effective for use by the Australian public. And the claim now proceeds upon the basis that the government in fact acted negligently in approving the vaccines and also by failing to withdraw them after approval based upon the known evidence. It says Australians who have experienced a serious adverse event following COVID-19 vaccination are invited to step forward and register with this class action, she said. A spokesman for the Department of Health and Aged Care said, the department is aware of a proceeding commenced today in the Federal Court of Australia by applicants represented by NR Barbie Solicitor Proprietary Limited. As the matter is before the court, it is not appropriate to comment further. According to Dr. McCann, nearly 500 people have already provided details of their injuries and expressed interest in joining the action, which he said was necessary as the existing compensation scheme had failed Australia. The scheme had left thousands of people suffering vaccine injuries still waiting for a decision that had been and has been widely criticised as being overcomplex, difficult to access, and too narrowly focused on a small number of officially recognised side effects. As of April the 12th, Services Australia had received 3,501 applications and paid 137 claims totaling more than $7.3 million. Another 2,263 claims are still in progress. 405 have been withdrawn and 696 deemed not payable. Dr. McCann said the scheme was not fit for purpose and had left many vaccine-injured Australians abandoned with no support after being promised fair and accessible compensation. As of April the 16th, the TGA has received 138,307 total adverse events reports from nearly 66 million doses administered, a rate of 0.2%. The medicines regulator had identified 14 reports where the cause of death was linked to vaccination from 985 reports received and reviewed. There has been no new vaccine-related deaths identified since 2022, the TGA said in its most recent safety report. Of course, the TGA, John Skerrick, does a runner, and the health Chief Health Officer, Brendan Murphy, does a runner, just as this came to light. Isn't that interesting, people? And, of course, no new deaths. That's why the vaccine, or the actual COVID-19 deaths, let's get it right, all the way up to when the vaccine started to be administered, was at about 1,000 people dying, and then it skyrocketed after the vaccine to 22,000 as I speak. So you work that maths out, people, and you try and tell me what's actually happened here. That's basically what the truth is. So good luck to this class action, because it's going to give people their parts of their lives back, if not just in a monetary fashion. And it's just a shame that people trusted completely and blindly and now suffering life-threatening illnesses because of this. Of course, I'll never tell you that it was caused by the vaccine. And it says, the TGA said myocarditis and pericarditis were usually temporary conditions, with most people getting better within a few days, noting that the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation continues to emphasise the protective benefits of vaccines far outweigh the rare risk of these side effects. But Mr. O'Grady believes there has been misinformation about the safety of the vaccines from the government. He says, I think there's been some sort of cover-up. There was a lot, you know, we need to not scare the public as part of the vaccine rollout. So let's not publicise these things. There was a large intentional withholding of information that doesn't give people informed consent. See, businesses force people to go and get jabbed or they would lose their job. So the whole thing was based on fear. Okay? He said he stressed that he was totally not or never have been anti-vaccine. He says, I'm pro-science. Mr. Rose, meanwhile, said it was nothing short of criminal. The government continued to push it, even as it received reports of serious reactions and even deaths. The fact that they've got a compensation scheme in the first place, why would you continue if you knew there was something happening, he said. It's insanity. So there you go. That was the first petition. The other one was by Meryl Dorey from the AVN, which is the Australian Vaccination Network, that was under a donation scheme. And I think it got up to about 600 or 700,000, then it disappeared and I took it off the page. But their court action was not successful. They got through to December, I think, this year, and they were told that their taking the TGA to court was not... I'll see if I can read it. One sec. Let me see if I can get it. Well, I actually got the widget up that I used to have up on the site. And it's got, they raised $603,000. And that was on the Give, Send, Go donation thing. This is for the Australian Vaccination Risk Network, where they took legal action against TGA. So I'll just show you how it resolved, because I do remember taking it off the website when I'd realised it had resolved, but they hadn't been successful. One sec. Okay, I'll start it from the start so you know who I'm talking about too. Some people might not know. It's got the Australian Vaccination Risk Network, formerly known as the Australian Vaccination Skeptics Network. And before that, it was known as the Australian Vaccination Network, which is what I call it. And this Wikipedia goes on to slam them, people. It really slams them bad, but it's a big Wikipedia. It's really big. And guess what? They don't mention the TGA petition that's going on that they did. Nothing. They just mentioned one from 10 years or so ago. And it's got, well, it says here, in 2020, the group suggested that the SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, is just the common cold. And people have been fooled by a fear campaign by the media. And it says, Dorey questioned the COVID-19 pandemic, saying, are you being lied to? Requesting that the followers take your phones and pop into the local hospital to let us know how crowded it is. Because I remember when it first started, they did say the hospitals were overwhelmed and some people were taking pictures and there was no one in the hospitals. And they were wondering if there was a fear campaign going on, which there was. So obviously later on, as the fear kicked in, the hospitals became overcrowded. That's pretty obvious what happened. But still, this Wikipedia goes on to slam them so bad. It's really bad. But there was nothing about the petition. And that's really interesting, people, because it seems like they've whitewashed it off their site as well. So it's not on the Wikipedia. It's not on their site either. It sort of made me scratch my head a bit and say, what happened to that petition? What happened to $600,000? But obviously they went and pumped it into the court case and lost. And I think that's what the problem is, that it didn't resolve. But still, the other one is still going, the class action, and that's to compensate people for actual injuries that have happened, and that needs to be put to the forefront because the government promised that it was safe. But it's not, because they can never, no one can ever say anything is 100%. There's always some anomalies, and there were. Anyway, so I put up at the time when it first came up. This is when it was at about 300,000. It's got... Big news, people. The AVN takes the TGA to federal court. Now, this is way back, and I'll see if I can get the date for it too, because the dates are so important to get these right. Now, I've got January the 25th, so I'm assuming, and I shouldn't assume, that was in 2022, so I'm not sure. So I'm just going to see if I can find a date in the article. This is a date from conspiracyels.com. It was 2022. It's got, and I copy and paste stuff, people. I mean, I know that websites disappear and links get broken, but if you copy and paste something and you save it, especially if it's an archive on the actual website like mine, you can actually go back and refer to it. You can go and search for these things in the search bar. So I've actually got a copy and paste of what was actually on the site that probably isn't there now. It says in the article I've got up, which says, "Big news, people, AVN takes the TGA to federal court." And this, and it's January 2022. And right down the bottom, as you scroll down in the article, and I will put this article up with all the other ones, it says, "All updates for the court case will be posted to this page and also on the Give, Sent, Go fundraising site. We will try to keep you up to date with all information as the case proceeds." So there it is, like a timeline where it actually starts. The actual commencement of the legal action was actually around the 20th of November 2021. Okay, so that links back to the actual avn.org.au site. Then you've got December the 1st, 2021, the case is progressing. These are links in that story. Then you've got on December the 16th, 2021, an update. Then January the 2nd, 2022, a New Year's update. Then an update on the 6th of January, 2022. And the last update on that story was on the 21st of January, 2022. So they're already at $300,000, I should say, not people, for the court case to fund it. Now, see if I can find other articles. Now, this is from their site. Now, this is the latest update, so I won't read that. I'll go back and see if we can move through it in a timeline, like a timeline. So it's got breaking news. This is the 25th of January, 2022. Breaking news, the AVN versus the TGA Federal Court update. So that's the actual update, probably from that link that I was talking about. Then the next link is, the AVN takes legal action to protect our rights. And this is when they've, I think they've got the Give, Send, Go. Yeah, they've actually got the total adverse events reported on the 14th of November 2021. So that's from, I'm not sure what that site's from, what it's from. It looks like it, see if I can find out what site it's from. Because this is at the height of the pandemic. This is November 2021. And it's got total reports of Vaxzevria, which is the AstraZeneca one, 40,000. This is November 2021. Reports of the Pfizer one was 38,000. And the reports of, it says total doses admitted in November 2020 was 37 million. So that would have been the first and second dose. And that's it. So this is right in the middle of it. So they started this court case right now. It says court cases have arisen and been lost and others are ongoing. We wish them all well. Though we have informed people of these cases and done everything we can to offer whatever assistance we can do to the organisers, the AVN has not personally gotten behind any of them, until now. It says we recently received legal advice prepared by a retired barrister that was informally reviewed by two eminent legal minds where they were in the view that the case should run. This has seen the AVN engage instructing solicitors for formally engaging a QC or an SC to settle a final opinion based upon a complete brief. Assuming the AVN is informed, the case has merit and the proposed application is filed and heard, then if it wins, there is never a guarantee. There is every possibility of turning the current situation on its head. So this is it. So they had the solicitors Irish Bentley. They're the ones that were looking after the case. And so, yeah, they've got the funding going through. This is when I first put it up, way back then. This is around about January 2022 and around about that time when it was big news and everything was happening to everyone. No one knew where they were going or what was going to happen to them. Then they had an interview after that. This is in September 2022. So this is an interview with Julian Gillespie regarding the Australian babies case. So this would have been after the update. So I'll see if I can find another update that might have been previous to that, and I have got one. I've got an August update here, so we'll go to that one first, then we'll come to September one. It says, update, the AVN's judicial review case against the TGA. It says, as many of you are aware, this is back in August 2022, the AVN's appeal, the issue of standing, was heard by the full bench of the federal court on Monday this week. The presiding justices found that our organisation, which has been exclusively involved with representing, defending and restoring the rights of Australians to informed vaccination and health choice for nearly 30 years, did not have a special interest in this issue over and above that of any ordinary Australian. So what that means is they were dismissed in court, because you've got to have a special interest for the court case to proceed. So the $600,000 would have went to a bunch of lawyers and it would have stopped dead in its tracks there. So it says, she says here, watch below as the AVN founder Merrill Dorry speaks with AVN legal advisor and former barrister Julian Gillespie on what happened in the court and what the future might hold for the issue of health rights in Australia. And I watched it. And they basically say that they did everything they possibly could, but the court cases have their hands tied. They're more or less just dictated to by the health authorities, which is exactly what happens. When the World Health Organization went out and made a treaty to all these countries to say that they will look after all the countries in the next pandemic, everyone signed up. That means, again, the court systems will have their hands tied again next time another pandemic comes. So this is where people have to be aware of what's happening to them in their own countries, that they are being actually dictated to from outside sources that have nothing to do with their politicians or even the corporations or the citizens. The voting system means nil, zilch, against these sort of powers. So this is why it's so dangerous. That's why Bill Gates said, watch out for pandemic two. It's going to be a doozy, because he knows that he's got even more control, because he virtually funds the WHO anyway. So what he says goes. So this is what's so dangerous about this whole thing, is that he's not even a doctor. Yet they go on about Merrill Dorry's not a doctor at the AVN. He's not even a doctor. She's got a damaged child, and that's why she got involved in this stuff 30 years ago, whereas Bill Gates just has a monetary investment, plus he needs to get his agenda done, which is depopulation. So the next link I was going to read that came out in September, they actually changed the case against the government, or the TGA, to children getting jabbed from 5 years up. Now, I do remember when that happened, because obviously they weren't able to have a special interest in just the TGA administering adverse reaction reports and what they were doing to compensate. It was actually, this was another angle. So they've got here, 19 September 2022, it says, interview with Julian Gillespie regarding the Australian babies case, September the 18th, 2022. A new case will be filed in the next 2 to 3 weeks in the High Court of Australia called the Australian Babies Case. Join us in conversation regarding the inadequacies of the Australian law and how changes can be made to redress, at least partially, the wrongs of the last 2.5 years. So basically they had to change course into a different way of doing it simply because they were blocked by the court system. So it sounds like this is a dangerous thing, and the only one that sounds like they're going to even have any recourse at all is the adverse event one, which is the one I read earlier. It sounds like they hit a brick wall with this one, and that's because the AVN has had a bad run with the Australian government for more than 30 years. So this is why they are stopping her in her tracks. They don't want her to get any traction, because who knows? Merrill, maybe you should get into politics, because maybe that's how you're going to do it. But that's for another day. And then she'd be amongst the vipers in the nest. Now, I did do a story on Professor TGA head John Skerrick way back in May 2023, when he actually did the runner. This would have been just after the court case was announced against TGA, and he's done a runner, people. And the story I put up, which some listeners would know if they'd been to theconspiracyhouse.com back then, was Johnny Come Back. We can blame it all on him. That was the actual title of the article. And it's got, and I actually did, I think I did sing it too. And it's got Johnny Come Back. We can blame it all on him. He was wrong and we just can't live without truth. The lyrics. But it says, and this goes back from the 5th of November 2021. And it's from blog.canberra.com. declaration.org.au. It says, who is TGA head John Skerrick and why did he ban ivermectin? So this was a thing that people wanted to take and not have to take the dangerous jab, because they weren't sure. They were hesitant. They wanted something that they could possibly take that wouldn't harm them, that might actually work. And it says here, 5th of November 2021, Dr. John Skerrick is the national manager of the Therapeutic Goods Administration. But did you know he has a bachelor's degree in science, majoring in agriculture? Skerrick is not a medical doctor and has never treated any patients. He has no clinical experience with COVID-19, and it's got John Skerrick's ban on ivermectin. On September the 10th, 2021, Professor John Skerrick made it no longer possible for GPs in Australia to prescribe ivermectin for COVID-19. Previously, doctors were able to prescribe the drug off-label for patients suffering from the disease. The TGA statement on its ban on ivermectin can be found here, and there's a link. Now, of course, these links all still work. This is a story I've already put up. So I didn't want to go through the whole thing, but I'll go through the headline. So you get an idea of who this guy is and what his role in the agenda was as he did a runner. Because I haven't looked up where he's ended up yet. That's something wasn't known back then in May. So it's something I need to look into anyway. Now, reading on, it's got Professor John Skerrick, Retirement Health Portfolio Minister for Aged Care. It says health.gov.au, 2nd of February 2023. Professor Skerrick has had many achievements over the course of his career, including implementing the Medicines and Medical Devices Review. It's got digital transformation, the regulation of medicinal cannabis, which never happened, the rapid registration of COVID vaccines and treatments, which did, and playing a leading role in international harmonisation of regulation. Okay, well, that's something I didn't know about. And then it's got industry pays tribute as TGA boss John Skerrick announces retirement. Now, this is from cannabis.com.au. The Therapeutic Goods Administration boss, Professor John Skerrick, has announced he will retire in April after 11 years in the role. Minister for Health and Aged Care Mark Butler said Skerrick leaves behind an extraordinary record of public service. So he obviously was preparing to get out as everything was starting to heat up, because he knew that the COVID was starting to die out and he had no more power, you see, and then all the eyes would be on him to come at him. So he's done a runner at exactly the right time. So it's got, I like this part, victory. TGA liars forced to end ivermectin ban. Cansnews.org, May the 4th, 2023. It says Australia's lying pharma-funded public health bureaucrats at the TGA have been forced to remove restrictions, it says, on the antiparasitic and antiviral drug ivermectin that they criminally banned during the pandemic. It says the move is a huge and well-deserved victory for the former Liberal MP Craig Kelly, who was mocked and ridiculed by health authorities and other politicians for his public stance in support of the drug that is shown by numerous studies to be safe and effective treatment for COVID-19. And I've written, and of course, here come the fact checkers. Ha ha. And it's got former Liberal MP Craig Kelly claims the TGA surrendered on ivermectin. Is that correct? That's abc.net.au. And it's got the regulator's announcement explicitly states that the TGA does not endorse off-label prescribing of ivermectin for the treatment prevention of COVID-19. And then I've got down the bottom, the real reason you're doing a runner, professor, with a question mark, death threats, drugs, and cannabis, looks like cannabis oil. Professor John Skerrick on a decade leading the TGA. So that's from ozdoc.com.au in 19th of April 2023. And he had 24 death threats in the past 3 years. So that's another reason he did a runner. Now, I've got a stack of stuff on him, but that was a good sort of, you know, get ready for him vibe, because that's something I did way back in May when he did a runner. And then I move on to him. And now this is way back. This is back in 2012. Just so you get an idea of how long this guy's been a player for the agenda. It's got Dr. John Skerrick is a recipient of the Rotary Foundation. That's, of course, you know, 2011-2012. It says sponsored by the Rotary Club of Carlingford, New South Wales. It says studied as a 1983-84 ambassadorial scholar at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, Michigan, USA. A former, looks like a Rotaractor and Interactor, he is currently a member of the Rotary Club of Hampton. He was recently promoted to the position of head of the Therapeutic Goods Administration, the agency that approves medicines, diagnostic tests, and medical devices for marketing and use in Australia and export. Over the past 30 years, Dr. Skerrick has led a wide range of training and assistant projects addressing agriculture, because that's his field, people, medical science, environmental and public administration issues in India, Indonesia and other Southeast Asian and African countries. In 2010, he led a successful response to a major locust plague in Eastern Australia. So there you go. This guy's been around, but that's when times changed, as soon as he became the head of the TGA. Okay, the next story. Now, this is from prior to the pandemic, April the 9th, 2019, just to get an idea of the character, what sort of person you're dealing with all these things that were about to occur in the pandemic. This is from the newcastleherald.com.au, and it's titled, "I was in tears, and he was doing things with his phone," says mesh-injured woman. So it says, one of Australia's most senior health bureaucrats is under fire for repeatedly using his phone during an emotional presentation by pelvic and hernia mesh victim at a forum where the Morrison government was slammed for its response to a series of medical device scandals. It's unbelievable, isn't it, people? Now, I'll try to fly through all the other ones because there's actually literally another 30 links to go through, and I didn't want to get caught up on this guy, but I have to read this one too. It says, it's from the Sydney Morning Herald, smh.com.au, came out on November the 16th, 2020. So this is when the pandemic was already underway. It says, top doctor resigns from the TGA in his role over concerns with policing of fringe medicine. So remember that Skerrick is the head guy. A leading medical campaigner resigned from the Medical Watchdog's advertising committee, citing years of frustration over its kid glove treatment of complementary medicines. The Therapeutic Goods Administration received 1,468 complaints in 2018-19 about advertisements for drugs and devices, many of them alleging herbal supplements, fat burners and hangover cures were being sold with wild and unsupported claims about their effectiveness. That sounds like they pushed the Pfizer and all that through with the same sort of kid's gloves. So it says nearly all the complaints were upheld, but despite having the power to issue penalties, in most cases the TGA opted to send only advisory letters, according to a study led by the Associate Professor Ken Harvey and published in the Australian Health Review. In 2018, the Federal Health Minister, Greg Hunt, appointed Dr. Harvey as the representative of consumer organisation and magazine Choice to the TGA's Advertising Consultative Committee, a panel of industry, media and consumer representatives who work with it on advertising compliance. Before that, Dr. Harvey, who is a Choice Life member, spent several years on the Therapeutic Goods Advertising Complaint Resolution Panel. "I've come to the conclusion I have been wasting my and Choice's time," Dr. Harvey said. "The TGA is not going to fix the problem of advertising until there is changes, either at the top of the TGA or at the government level," and both of them changed. Hunt and Skerrick went. Dr. Harvey said the TGA, which is funded by industry, had grown too close to those it's supposed to regulate. Now, isn't that a really good point for what was happening at the time, people? It says complementary medicines are a profitable export-orientated industry, but it's export-orientated because it's producing BS. Sooner or later, even the Chinese are going to want products that work, he said. Professor Harvey personally complained about a clinically proven hangover relief pill in 2018, citing a lack of published evidence that it worked. The TGA resolved Professor Harvey's complaint about the product by sending educational material to the manufacturer. Anyway, it says the TGA rejected any suggestion Dr. Harvey's resignation was a sign in regulation, its set regulation was failing. This is just incredible. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but you can see, it goes on and on too, by the way, but you can see that the days of John Skerrick were numbered. And of course, the next link, which I won't read, is a classic and it says it all. 2nd of December 2020. It's an interview with the ABC and Anthony Fauci and John Skerrick. doing his bidding, wasn't he, people? Right in their pocket. So I'm not going to read it, but you can see straight away it's going to be just like the Paul Kelly one with Anthony Fauci. So no surprises there. Moving on to the next one. It says, Federal Liberal MP Craig Kelly questions coronavirus vaccine. Says he would not immunise his child. 3rd of December 2020. Now, this is when he left the Liberal Party around that time. It says, Federal Liberal MP Craig Kelly says, even if the Therapeutic Goods Administration approves a coronavirus vaccine for use in Australia, he may not be convinced there is enough evidence for him to get it. Now, after the last article, can you blame him, people? Everyone just ran with it. Because they were told by Fauci, Hunt, and Bill Gates, do it. You know, do it. It's the right thing. It's the right thing for the major shareholders to cash in. The right thing, people. Now, this is a great headline from the abc.net.au. A lot of people would have forgot about all this stuff, people. It says, why Norway's reports of deaths in Pfizer vaccine recipients will help the TGIS assess the drug. 20th of January 2021. abc.net.au. Reports out of Norway that up to 30 frail patients have died after receiving the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine will ultimately help Australian health authorities determine the best way to safely administer the drug, experts say. That's an actual headline and story, people, where 30 people died after getting the vaccine. Sorry, people, but I'll never, ever take anything from the TGA ever again, because that was him. And he approved it, even after that happened, people. They don't care, people. I tell you, they don't care. It's part of the agenda. And here's the next ABC story almost right after that one. 3rd of February 2021, abc.net.au. The TGA, which is really John Skerrick, finds that the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine poses no specific risk to elderly patients, even after the last story. It says the Therapeutic Goods Administration says the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine poses no specific risk to older patients after concerns were raised by Norwegian officials following a number of deaths in aged care. 30 people died, people, after getting the vaccine. That happened. That really happened. And the next article is where Skerrick goes into overdrive with the TGA to block hydroxychloroquine. That's another one. Now, that's the same thing that people in Central Africa were taking for malaria. And guess what? They hardly contracted COVID-19. Why? Because they were protected by hydroxychloroquine, because it actually works. But here's the TGA and Skerrick at the helm to make sure that's blocked in Australia. 22nd of February 2021, abc.net.au. The National Health Watchdog is investigating a group of Melbourne doctors after unapproved COVID-19 treatments were endorsed on their website. The COVID Medical Network, which rose to prominence last year after hundreds of doctors signed in an open letter criticising Melbourne's second lockdown, has advocated for hydroxychloroquine to be used to treat the virus. The Therapeutic Goods Administration has banned Australian doctors from prescribing the drug to combat COVID-19. So there he is again, doing his job, people, just doing his job. Now, the next link is the abc.net.au. 18th of March 2021, it says, adverse reactions to COVID vaccines are rare. Here's how the TGA monitors for anything wrong. This is around about the time when AstraZeneca was making the headlines and people didn't want to use it anymore. And people like Dr. Jeanette Young from Queensland said, oh, don't use it. Only the under 40s or the over 60s, because it's dangerous to young people. And then, of course, her husband was involved with Pfizer. Professor Nimmo. It's just... you can't, mate. This is real stuff, people. It sounds like a really B-grade Netflix movie, but it actually happened to all of us. Moving on. It says experts call for TGA-approved rapid COVID-19 tests. These are the rat tests. Can you believe it was called a rat test made for rats? 19th of March 2021, abc.net.au. Federal and state governments in Australia have been accused by some medical and industry experts of ignoring rapid testing technology that could help the nation recover from the COVID-19 clusters faster. This is when the rat tests came in, people, and they wanted to not do the PCRs because they weren't working. Rat tests don't work either, but people keep doing them. As soon as it's positive, they go into a spin and they buy more of them. It's just such a rot. Moving on, it's got the next link is March 21st of March 2021. TJ approves domestic production of AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine, even after all the reports and Dr. Jeanette Young, who was about to tell everyone not to do it, they still approve it anyway because it's John. You know, evil John's doing his job, people. This timeline is brilliant. abc.net.au. COVID live updates. The TGA says blood clots from AstraZeneca vaccine remain extremely rare. So they're actually admitting it happens now. 13th of April, 2021. It says the Therapeutic Goods Administration's deputy secretary says two cases of blood clots linked to AstraZeneca vaccine in Australia have come from over 700,000 doses administered. So just to, you know, ignore the two people. It says a return traveller from the Philippines died from complications from COVID-19 in Queensland overnight, becoming the first person to die of the disease in Australia since October 2020. A second Australian COVID vaccine plotting case developed 2 weeks after receiving the AstraZeneca shot, the WA Health Minister says. It says the case, a second in more than 700,000 AstraZeneca vaccines administered in Australia, means people have more chance of winning the lottery than developing the symptoms, Therapeutic Goods Administration Deputy Secretary John Skerrick says. So there you go. That's good old John, evil John, saying nothing to see here. Move along. So I will. The next story is TGA investigating three new blood clot cases in people given the AstraZeneca vaccine. That's the 23rd of April, 2021. So I'm not going to read the story, but it's a third person's dropped dead. And we're moving on to the next story. It says two New South Wales men die after receiving COVID-19 vaccination as TG begins review. 29th of April 2021, abc.net.au. Two men have died days after receiving a coronavirus vaccination in New South Wales, with reviews underway to determine whether the jab contributed to their deaths. Here we go. No links have been established yet, but the TGA said the reviews were being undertaken by clinical staff as standard practice. Oh, are they going to write a letter to them? Like they did with all the other dodgy things that they've done. Moving on. This is sort of funny. It says, next one is, evidence does not suggest likely association between COVID vaccines and the deaths of two men, TGA. 29th of April, 2021. There he is standing up on the podium. The head of the Therapeutic Goods Administration has urged calm about the death of two men after they received COVID vaccines, saying while investigation into both deaths are ongoing, the current evidence doesn't suggest a likely association. So let's not let him talk. Let's move on to the next story. We're getting closer to the truth, people, as we move forward. Now, this is from the 30th of April, 2021, TGA Advertising Consultative Committee. So this is information about, this is actually just like some sort of, it's a tga.gov.au site. I'll put it up. It's just all to do with the membership and the meetings and the purpose of it. So you understand what that fellow Harvey that quit, he was probably the head of that committee at the time, did a runner. I don't blame him. Moving on. Okay, abc.net.au. 23rd of July 2021, Australia's TGA finds Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine is safe for children aged 12 to 15. He's having a blinder, isn't he, people? Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine has been approved for children aged 12 to 15 by Australia's medical regulator. Guess who? Well, that was easy, wasn't it? Moving on. Okay, this is where the TGA gets a bit of muscle in what it tells people what to do. abc.net.au came out on June the 10th, 2021. TGA warns Clive Palmer, radio network over COVID ads spreading vaccine misinformation. So even a billionaire gets told to shut up because you're not telling the truth. Says the TGA has written to Clive Palmer, of course they always write those letters, don't they, people, and a regional radio network to express concern over ads that spread false information about the risks of COVID-19. So I'm not going to read the article, but there's the TGA sending another letter out just in case, you know, so they can get something done about it. You know, it's it didn't stop Clive Palmer, formed a party and went after them. So who knows? Now, the next one is... Hopefully it's starting to get up to date. This is still June 2021. This is from expos-news.com. Australia's medicine regulator has never seen Pfizer COVID vaccine study data, despite deeming it safe for Australians. I remember when this came out, people. I remember this story. This is where they just rubber stamped it all through without even bothering to checking it. In other words, TGA's job is to actually clinically prove that these particular vaccines are safe, and they never did it. What they did is they rubber stamped what the US told them, which is just following the agenda. Professor Skerrick doing his job again. It says a Freedom of Information request made to Australia's drug regulator has revealed that they have never seen the extremely limited study data for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, despite giving it emergency approval and deeming it safe to be injected into the arms of Australians. So there you go. That was a TGA request, Freedom of Information request on whether the TGA had actually tested these vaccines, and they had not at that time. Okay, so moving on. Now it's got, this is from the IMOP party. This is the imoparty.com, it just says. This is the one that's on my site. That's the vaccine party in the Northern New South Wales. When I interviewed Michael O'Neill on the podcast once, this is before the party got big. It's very big now. It's been pushing for no vaccinations, forcible vaccinations, and that was before the COVID-19 hoax. So he would have had his work cut out for him from that point onwards. And it's got here, and this story came out June 2021, so around the same time, 28th of June, an IMOP investigation into claims that vaccines undergo stringent assessments by the TGA. We are told by our government representatives that all vaccines in use in Australia must undergo stringent and rigorous assessments by the TGA. However, our investigations show that the TGA assessments are somewhat less than stringent or rigorous by any reasonable measure. Our evidence-based findings are listed below. And this is where, this is actually a really good article. It needs to be looked at because I remember when this came out. It's a very, very good in-depth look into what the TGA was supposed to do and what they didn't do. So when I put that link up, you do need to go and have a look at that one, even though it's way back then when the pandemic was, gearing up, you could say. This was what was put out there by the TGA at the time, and this is what was reported on when they said, just take it. Trust us. Moving on. Now it's got abc.net.au, July 2021. Request to prioritise young Sydney-siders for Pfizer jabs under consideration. TGA hopes to approve Moderna by early August. He was just pushing everything uphill, people. John Skerrick. He is a major player in this problem of what happened in Australia, and that's why he's done a runner, because he's had more than two dozen death threats against him. I mean, this is just a person that was just doing as much as he could to damage Australians and got away with it. And I'll check out and see where he's at now too, because that's, we're getting closer to that now. So moving on to the next one. It's got TGA fines Pete Evans' company $80,000 for repeated advertising breaches, 19th of August 2021, abc.net.au. Now, Pete Evans, it says, and if you remember, he's the celebrity chef, and his company was hit with the 6 infringement notices totaling $79,000 and directed to take down non-compliant advertising relating to hyperbaric oxygen therapy chambers and 2 oral medicines. And this is what they do. They will block anything that challenges Pfizer and the other companies' monetary gain for their major shareholders, including Bill Gates and them. They will come after you. And that's what they did with him. They've hit him with $80,000, and I'd say that would have stopped him. So this is a very dangerous world we're in, people, where you can only go one way. You're not allowed to promote anything unless they promote it, even if it doesn't work. They get the first say. This is what's so dangerous. You can't even take the TGA to court, now that I realise what happened to Meryl Dorey and the AVN, is because only pharmaceuticals can take the TGA to court, and they're the ones working with them. Go figure, people. That's the world we're in. Oh, we're getting up to date now. abc.net.au, 19th of July 2022. The TGA approves Moderna COVID-19 vaccine for young children. Babies and young children aged 6 months to five are now one step closer to receiving a COVID-19 vaccine after the National Medical Regulator gave the Moderna vaccine the green light. The TGA has provisionally approved the pediatric dose of the vaccine, which contains a lower concentration of the active ingredient. Now, wait for this, people. But Health Minister Mark Butler, who's now, what is he? He's now the federal health minister, warned parents not to try to immediately book their children in for the vaccine as it was not yet available. So here's a guy that helped John Skerrick to push small children and babies towards something that's known to not only not work, but to cause damage. Shame. Now we are up to date. It says the health.gov.au. It says Professor John Skerrick retirement. This is when he did a runner, people. This is in, let's see if we get the date. 2nd of February 2023, this year. It says, today, Professor John Skerrick has announced his decision to retire from his position of Deputy Secretary Health Products Regulation Group effective 18th of April 2023. Then he goes on to say what a great person he is and how, you've got to see the picture of this Mark Butler, this Honourable Mark Butler MP on his site. It looks ridiculous. He looks like he's the metal man from Terminator staring back at you. He doesn't look like he can be stopped. Well, he's now the federal health minister. So he's perfect for the job as salesman for the New World Order. Absolutely. And he'd be one of the reasons why he did a run of people. And then we'll find out where he's at now. This is from themandarin.com.au. And it came out on April the 4th, 2023, John Skerrick on death threats. And it says, with decades of public service experience, John Skerrick is well placed to comment on the direction of the APS. He is concerned about what he sees. I worry that the bureaucracy has become a little bit cowardly, said the outgoing Health Products Regulation Group Deputy Secretary at the Department of Health and Aged Care. The other thing that worries me about the bureaucracy in my 28 years as an SES officer is that we've lost a lot of capacity. This is the guy who was at the helm of the TGA as it fell apart. Skerrick led the TGA gaining public prominence, I don't know about the prominence, during the COVID-19 pandemic, but his role with the TGA does not reflect the diversity of his public sector career. The long-time public servant has not worked in a central agency by his own choice, but he's worked in health, foreign affairs, agriculture, that's what he's known for, science and industry portfolios within the federal and state governments. I worry we're dumbing ourselves down, Skerrick commented. I'll just go to the death threats. I can't read this guy's stuff anymore. He's too ridiculous. It says, it's a pretty long article, actually. I just didn't realize it was going to go on about all this other stuff first. But it's getting to it. It's probably right at the end. They don't really want to go on about it, but it's going to be there. One sec. And it is. It's not a big part of the story, actually. They obviously didn't want to dwell on it because it's quite a serious thing, but that's what happens when you are the one working for the global elites. It says, Skerrick has been the public face of the TGA, although he points out that this has only been one of his roles at the Department of Health and Aged Care. He has also been Deputy Secretary at the Department, Head of the TGA and Head of the Office of Drug Control. So this guy had many hats, people. During the pandemic, he was involved not only in vaccine approvals, but things like rapid antigen tests, hand sanitizers, and medicines. Unfortunately, the work the department did during COVID-19 is difficult to mention without also mentioning the public abuse and misinformation targeted at the government, the TGA, and its Skerrick personally. Of course he's going to say that. During his final appearance at Senate Estimates, hearings were suspended five times as politicians used the platform to promote vaccine misinformation and personally attack Skerrick. See how they straight away paint one side of the fence. They just say, they're right, the others are wrong. There's never two sides, just one side. That's when you know something's wrong, people. So it says, since then, Skerrick said he's been called a liar 10 times in the parliament. It's probably because he is. Officials actually don't have the usual offences that other members and senators have, Skerrick said. If a senator calls an MP or a senator a liar, the president of the Senate or the Speaker can ask him to withdraw that and they can be censured for that. However, Under parliamentary privilege, a member or a senator can actually call an official a liar and there's no comeback. Oh, that's terrible, John. Skerrick said it's been a fairly ugly time, having received 24 death threats. Some have been serious enough to require police involvement. There it is, people. That's why he went. Now, here's something that'll make you laugh. This is from farmerinfocus.com.au. John Skerrick said no to farmer job. 5th of April 2023. Outgoing TGA boss Professor John Skerrick has revealed he was once offered triple his salary to work for Big Pharma, but decided to turn down the job. Remaining tight-lipped about which company was chasing him, Skerrick said he had no regrets about remaining in public service. He's had an extraordinary career working in health. So it says, and then that's, you got to subscribe. I think that's from an older story, but from way back when he was working in public service. I don't think that's what's happening to him now. So let's go and see if we can find the truth about what's happening to him right now. Because it's been since April, since he sort of disappeared off the face of the earth. One sec. And so ends a chapter on Professor John Skerrick. It says here from the site ozbiotech.org, 11th of December 2023. Ozbiotech energized by new board appointments. Australia's national member-based biotechnology organisation, Ozbiotech, is delighted to announce the appointment of two new non-executive directors to its board of directors, Professor John Skerrick, Enterprise Professor in Health Research Impact at the University of Melbourne. So there you go, people. It doesn't surprise me. It says, seasoned health and life science leader Professor John Skerrick has been appointed to the Oz Biotech Board, bringing decades of experience in research translation, commercialization, policy and regulation. Professor Skerrick is the former Deputy Secretary of the Australian Department of Health and Aged Care and led the Therapeutic Goods Administration for 10 years. He was also responsible for regulation of gene technology and industrial chemicals and control of drug import, export and production. Professor Skerrick has played a major role in advising the Australian government on the establishment of the mRNA vaccines and the medicines industry. He was previously the most senior scientific leader, even though he's only ever done agriculture, people, in Australia's foreign affairs portfolio, leading implementation of more than $1 billion in collaborative scientific programs between Australia and regional countries. He helped lead Australia's COVID-19 response and was one of the public media faces of the response. Professor Skerrick said, "I am thrilled to have the opportunity to contribute to the success of Australia's life sciences industry via the Oz Biotech Board. I look forward to working with fellow directors to advocate for Australia's biotech industry and its tremendous potential in Australia's health and economic wealth." Don't you love the last word, people? Wealth. Couldn't find too much on Oz Biotech, the company in Australia. But there is a fellow that's collaborated with Pfizer and Oz Biotech, a fellow named Dr. Anand Gautam. And on the 17th of August 2022, it says, special seminar, Pfizer collaboration strategy in the emergency sciences space. But it also says in his bio, just so you can see that he's connected to it, it says he serves on a number of committees, example, Oz Biotech. So this is where the guy would mingle with John Skerrick. He's just been appointed to Oz Biotech. So you can see that they're not small players, this Oz Biotech. It also says here, oh, it's another article based on the same fellow, this Dr. Anand Gautam, because he's the head, the senior director at Pfizer. So he is also involved with Oz Biotech. So you can see that the relationship will continue with the veil lifted. So it gives you an idea of what these people get up to once they leave their power seat that they're starting to relinquish to go to a bigger one. And that's what John Skerrick did. So there ends the chapter. And we'll just have to keep an eye out for the face of evil in the future. And here's a reminder to people what can happen in the past during those terrible years, those terrible 3 years with the pandemic, and what can happen now as people start dying. from the jab. And they, you know, they'll never tell you it's directly the jab. They'll make sure they've got all the elderly, the disabled, people with underlying issues, comorbidities, and people that have got cancer. And they'll jab them up, and then when they die, it won't be the jab. It'll be whatever they had. And it just sort of wipes the slate clean. This is a perfect example of someone that died at 50 and looked like they were cleared of cancer and then suddenly dead. So this is a story going back, and people would have heard about this recently because this Minister of Parliament in Australia was only extremely young. And so people are going to be going, what happened? Well, this is what I'm about to report. So this is a story from way back February the 23rd, 2021, abc.net.au. A lot of people would remember this because it's when all the pollies were rolling up to get jabbed. So it's got second vaccine shipment arrives as more leaders get jabs. But Health Minister warns there will be hiccups. Oh yeah. Says Australians must be prepared to accept some spoiled doses during the vaccine program, according to Health Minister Greg Hunt. If you remember all that hoo-ha back then, people. But I'm just going to go down to Labor MP Peter Murphy. Remember her, people, that recently died? Volunteered to show the vaccine is safe for people with underlying health issues. And it says here, and I'll just read on. It says, Miss Murphy said she volunteered to get vaccinated as an example for people with underlying health conditions. And it says, if you're worried about anything, talk to your GP, talk to your specialist. But like me, get the advice that it's safe, get vaccinated. I mean, this is just the whole story is about them all lining up to get jabbed. But that was just her. And then what happened recently, people? And I know she had underlying issues, but still, these are the people lining up to show you it's safe. And you'll never know whether it was the cancer or the vaccine that took them or helped to take them. So it says here, Labor MP Peter Murphy dies after cancer fight, December the 4th, 2023. So 2 years later, 2.5 years later, or actually nearly 3 years later. Bang, right at the beginning of when all the jabbing started. And as I've said to you people, you're going to have to go and look at the death rate for COVID-19 in Australia. Jabbed or not jabbed, doesn't matter. And it'll show it plateaus all the way to 1,000 deaths, and it stayed at that until the jabbing started. As soon as the jabbing started, we're at 22,000 deaths. And people are going to go, yeah, but that was Omicron, that was this, that was that. Doesn't matter. There's the facts, okay? It's not over yet. It's still going. That's why people are putting masks back on and starting to fear the new COVID wave because of summer. And then they started saying, oh, you can get it with the flu shot, as if it's a flu. You're thinking, well, what's going on here? They're just trying any which way to grab a buck out of it before people wake up or before the second pandemic comes. So it's got Labor is mourning the death of Victorian MP Peter Murphy at age 50 after a fight with metastatic breast cancer. So we don't know. But it says an emotional Prime Minister Anthony Albanese confirmed the Dunkley MP died at home on Monday. It says Miss Murphy travelled to Canberra last week to present a report advocating for national registry of metastatic, I think that's how you say, cancer patients alongside the Breast Cancer Network Australia. But see, this is the thing. We don't know if the jab had anything to do with it or made it worse. But the fact is, they're the first people they jabbed up. So they're the ones that no one's going to be able to point the finger when they die. They're just going to say, well, it was their underlying causes. Bingo. So what a great bunch of guinea pigs to start with. But then suddenly they were jabbing healthy people up and started to die. That's when people started to take note and go, hang on, what's going on here? So for the rest of the podcast, I was going to finish with Mr. Magoo. That's Mark McGowan. Remember the Premier of Western Australia did a runner? He was in the news recently of where he's gone for a job. But let's go through the history of one of the rats of COVID, one of the rats of Oz. COVID rats of Oz. So going to Mr. Magoo's Wikipedia, I'm not going to go into the whole what he's done here as a Navy officer and all that stuff. Not going to go into any of that stuff at all. He's not even from Western Australia, from Newcastle in New South Wales. But I'm not going to, and he went to University of Queensland, so he moved around a bit, this guy. Anyway, that's not what we're focusing on. What we wanted to find out is what they put in there about COVID. And here it is. It's got response to the COVID-19 pandemic from 2020 to 2021. And it's got, throughout 2020 to 2021, McGowan led Western Australia's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. He acted early to close the state's borders to the rest of the country. This is on the 5th of April. This is when he became another country, people. Seriously, no one could get in and no one could get out. A billionaire tried to get in, which was Clive Palmer, but he was thwarted and couldn't get in, but he had to stay out. Oh, it was just a running battle between the Premier of Western Australia, Mr. Magoo, and Clive Palmer. And it went on. And then Clive Palmer got his party going, and it all started to, it just got so ridiculous, the whole thing. But this is what it was. It was ridiculous. It says in July 2020, oh, here it is. Businessman Clive Palmer claimed that the closing of the borders was unconstitutional and launched a legal challenge in the federal court, and he did. The case was defeated, and in response, McGowan labelled Palmer an enemy of the state. Shortly after, McGowan popularity in opinion polls dramatically increased, reaching 91% approval in September 2020. A record for any Australian premier. This is what happened too. This is why I call him Mr. Magoo, because, you know, he's done it again. In January 2021, McGowan criticised the New South Wales government's response and attitude towards the pandemic, contrasting it with his own government's response. In March 2021, he suggested that some internal Australian border controls could be continued after the pandemic, on the grounds that they had helped to keep illegal drugs out of Western Australia. A lot of illegal drugs in Western Australia before it even gets in there. But clarified later that he meant to suggest only an increased police presence at border checkpoints. He's going for the nanny state people. So it says in, now it goes into the politics here, where it goes on about the 2021 election and then his second term and then his resignation. And you're going, well, if he was so popular, what happened? But anyway, just before he resigned, it said, on the 13th of December 2021, way back then, McGowan announced that Western Australia would fully open its borders to COVID-19 vaccinated people from interstate, not unvaccinated, and on overseas on the 5th of February 2022. It says, on January 2022, McGowan reversed his decision on the plan for Western Australia to fully open its borders, saying that the Omicron variant of COVID-19 was more contagious than previous variants of the virus and that the state's vaccination booster levels were not high enough. So this is a guy that pushed it and pushed it, trying to turn that place into another country and a police state. That's his legacy, people. Now it says resignation and retirement from politics, probably because people realised what a load of hoo-ha it was and shown him the door. On 29th of May 2023, McGowan announced he would step down as Premier and member of Rockingham. Now, what budged him to do that, people, I wonder? He cited his exhaustion from the relentless pressures of the job for the reason for his resignation. And this is a load of crap too, because he goes on to get a very high-paying job. Plus, he didn't mention it was his family. He just said he was tired. This is a career politician, tired of doing politics, bossing people around at one of the highest level ratings of an Australian premier. And he's tired. I'll get to what it was anyway. It says he went on leave following Friday the 2nd of June and formally resigned on Thursday the 8th of June. And there you go. So it's just, this guy really bugged me, because what happened in Western Australia is they did this. They didn't go crazy wearing masks and all that sort of stuff and social distancing. They continued as normal. We had people that came from Western Australia to visit us that were shocked at the fact that we were all running around with masks still and all afraid of dying. Because that's what happened there. People there just went about their normal lives with none of that. They got jabbed up because they were told to, but they went around without doing all the other things simply because, no one can get into Western Australia, so we're not going to catch anything. That was the idea. That's why Clive Palmer, the billionaire, wasn't allowed in, because he owned a bunch of mines there and he wanted to go and check on them. They wouldn't let him. So you can bet your bottom dollar that Clive Palmer's got a good reason why he's left politics. And there'll be a lot of underlining issues related to that. But wait till you find out where he ends up. This is what it is. It's just like, they've got nothing in there about what I'm about to say. So let's go through the history of McGowan and we'll get up to date and find out why he really left, people. Okay, first cab off the rank is Pfizer coronavirus vaccines to arrive in Perth this weekend with high-risk workers a priority for the initial 5,000 doses. 18th of February 2021, abc.net.au. So straight away, lining up to Javamore. These are the first people in line, which is the high-risk workers, all the health workers. Second story, abc.net.au, came out on the 22nd of February 2021. Coronavirus vaccine rollout begins in Western Australia with two hotel quarantine nurses. They started jabbing them all like pincushions after that point. Next story is the Western Australian government plans to make COVID-19 vaccination mandatory for hotel quarantine workers, 12th of April 2021. So here he comes with his nanny state. This is where it begins. And now that's the second story. Again, abc.net.au. These are virtually all ABC stories that I've grabbed because it's the government's mouthpiece. It's got COVID updates. New Zealand pauses travel with Western Australia as state braces for three-day lockdown. 23rd of April 2021. It says New Zealand has announced a pause on travel with Western Australia as the state braces for a snap three-day lockdown to curb the spread of COVID-19 outbreak. The lockdown will begin at midnight tonight. Masks will be mandatory from 6pm, although Premier Mark McGowan recommended people wear them immediately. Say anymore, next story. Crazy stuff, people, when it happened. 24th of April 2021, abc.net.au. COVID updates. WA Premier Mark McGowan says no new community cases detected on the first day of lockdown. It's like a military operation because he is ex-military. Next story. It says 29th of April 2021. COVID hotel quarantine solution staring us in the face. WA Premier Mark McGowan insists, and there's a picture of him with the giant mask on his face. Of course, he picked the black one, people. He just needs the cape. Next story, abc.net.au, 10th of June 2021. The WA government reassures over 50s that AstraZeneca is safe amid backlash over Pfizer restrictions. So what happened is they couldn't get Pfizer, so they forced people to take AstraZeneca, which nobody wanted because of the blood clots. But it's safe. It's got Health Minister Roger Cook, who's now the Premier of Western Australia, said like any vaccine endorsed by the TGA, AstraZeneca was safe. It's just they stop severe illness and death. Yeah, well, you want to be playing Russian roulette with the government's AstraZeneca rollout. But that's what happened then. Next story, abc.net.au, came out on the 17th of February 2022. So we're getting up to date. WA Premier Mark McGowan attends a COVID-19 spreader event at a Fremantle pub, but has tested negative. Now, Fremantle was one of the cities that one of our friends visited too from New South Wales and said that they were shocked that no one was wearing masks there. Everyone was just getting about it. Well, there he is, Mark McGowan, Mr. Magoo, amongst all the people there. And it says, he says he returned two negative rats after attending a super spreader, a COVID event at a brewery. Gonna read anymore, it just gets so comical. It's like Boris Johnson in the UK when he said, everyone, no parties, stay at home, and then he went off and had a party and got caught. It's just these people just make fools out of everybody. Next story. It says this is from the 3rd of March 2022. ABC.net.au. WA Premier Mark McGowan, sorry, I got that wrong, won't rule out closing the border again in the future. So he's pointing the withered finger that people are wearing the black mask again. They're using the same photo again, the ABC. But, you know, you can still see the look on the face. You can see the gritted teeth behind the mask. But anyway, moving on to the next story. It's got Premier Mark McGowan labels WA's rising number of COVID-19 cases in hospital as concerning. 13th of July 2022, abc.net.au. WA Premier Mark McGowan says the rising tally of people with COVID-19 who are being admitted to hospital in the state is concerning as the number trends towards a record high. 90,000 cases, Phil. Do you think the lockdowns and border closures worked? Because Omicron didn't care about Mr. Magoo. It just stepped over the border. So here we are as he falls apart, people. 21st of July 2022, abc.net.au. as a third WA COVID wave rolls in, just like the surf, isn't it? Mark McGowan has taken a calculated gamble with goodwill. It says, 2 years ago, Western Australians granted Premier Mark McGowan nearly unlimited power to keep COVID out of the state. But as we learn to live with COVID, remember that, the gap between what's best for people and what they will accept is growing. This is where his power started to diminish. You know, Saruman's power. You know, join us, it would be wise. But nobody joined. They all left. So the next story is, WA opposition slams McGowan government's plan to use emergency personnel to stop FMD outbreaks. 27 July 2022. And you're going, what's FMD outbreaks? Well, that's foot and mouth disease. So in other words, the McGowan government, Mr. Magoo, was going to try and stop all diseases from coming in, including people, and he couldn't do that. And it says the McGowan government currently has a team of 70 people working on a plan to prepare for potential outbreaks of foot and mouth disease and lumpy skin disease. I can't read anymore, people. It's just getting ridiculous. And the way this guy lasted that long is ridiculous. And the people in Western Australia should be ashamed of themselves for putting themselves in a predicament where they had a guy like that was had too much power. Yeah, wait till you see where he ends up anyway, people. And one of the real reasons why he quit politics. Okay, abc.net.au. Mark McGowan defends the WA health system but concedes it is under huge pressure. 5th of September 2022, abc.net.au. I won't read the story, but this is where he's starting. The cracks are appearing. But I love this story. It's not true. I don't think it's true, but I did grab the headline and laugh very hard when I saw it. Even though it's sort of not funny for people in Western Australia, but I knew it couldn't be true. It was from cairnsnews.org, and it came out on the 23rd of October 2022. It's got Western Australia Labor Premier McGowan jabbing unvaxxed at gunpoint. I'll just read the snippet. We received an unverified report of unvaxxed people being forced to take COVID jabs by police at gunpoint at Armidale, 30 kilometres from Perth's CBD in Western Australia. And they're just saying, if anyone can verify this, can you report or send a comment? So it was never substantiated, but I tell you what, I wasn't surprised. It's like his last stand, you know what I mean? Now we're up to December, 15th of December 2022. The WA budget surplus rises slightly in mid-year review as Mark McGowan eyes potential storms. This is where it's all falling apart, people. Premier Mark McGowan has painted a bleak picture of what's ahead for Western Australia's economy as he announced a $1.8 billion surplus for next year. This is abc.net.au. The mid-year review surplus is slightly above what was predicted in the 22 to 23 period in May's budget, but significantly below the record $6 billion the government had in its pocket last financial year. So you can see he's got his foot in the exit door here. He's about to do a runner because he's just stuffed everything up. Now we move on. 22nd of January 2023. Here we go, people. abc.net.au. Mark McGowan's COVID response will be put under the microscope, but will it reveal any fresh truths? Ooh, they're after him, people. Just as quickly as the most extreme measures of the pandemic became the norm, so too have they faded into the background. And here comes Clive Palmer coming to get him, people, the billionaire. Panic buying, lockdowns, capacity limits, checking in at every shop and cafe now seem almost as strange as they would have before the words like COVID and rat became everyday terms. But over the next 6 months, three experienced reviewers will pore over all the government's decisions that led us through those tricky times. Although it's probably a very little interest to most. Oh, no, we want to know. Given how many have seemingly forgotten the pandemic, it's important this review is done properly. It says, lessons learnt from the Spanish flu. I'm not even going to read that. It's already ridiculous. I mean, but this is where they're coming after him, people. That was the beginning of the year. Now we're moving into March. The 8th of March, 2023, abc.net.au. And it says, Mark McGowan says he only learned of Perth Mint Gold doping this week as Shanghai Gold Exchange warns the media. Oh, gold's making a bit of a showdown here, people. Let's have a quick read. It says, the WA Premier Mark McGowan says he only became aware on Monday of issues concerning gold that was sold to China by the Perth Mint, as the exchange it was allegedly sold to accused the media of damaging its reputation. That doesn't even look like grammar. But anyway, maybe it's written by, didn't think it was AI. It's actually got a journalist. It says, in a statement released on its Chinese language website on Wednesday, but not available on the English language version, the Shanghai Gold Exchange said it had noticed some media reported Australian Perth Mint sold diluted gold bars. And it's got false information spreading on the internet. It causes serious damage to the reputation of Shanghai Gold Exchange. I mean, Magoo's just up to his eyeballs in poo, isn't he, people? He should be called Mr. Mapoo. Mr. McPoo. He's getting trashed now. So the next headline is, again, cairnsnews.org. And it came out on May the 29th, 2023. And they were probably very happy to hear about this. Newsflash, McGowan resigns as WA Premier. And it's got megalomaniacal, there it is, West Australian Labor Premier Mark McGowan has resigned. We do not know the real reason, and he will not give a truthful answer, at his press conference, which is occurring as we publish this bulletin. Sorry for getting tongue-tied, people. I'm still getting tongue-tied. It's in the middle of the silly season and been to many family events and just got back from one to finish the podcast. So the podcast has been late the last 2 weeks, probably finished on today on Wednesday, but maybe not released till Thursday. Anyway, to finish off the article, it says, previously a solicitor McGowan has been involved in controversy fighting mining magnate Clive Palmer in the Supreme Court, costing the state millions and millions of dollars, introducing draconian firearm policies. And that's very true. So there's a lot of money was wasted because of that guy. And look what it became. I mean, he was a minion that did his job, but then realised that he was just a minion. So the final story is the life and times of Mark McGowan, the state premier who enjoyed rock star popularity levels. There it is again. 29th of May 2023, abc.net.au. Known for his tough stance on border closures during COVID-19 pandemic and legal fights with mining magnate Clive Palmer, WA's 30th premier, Mark McGowan's popularity skyrocketed in recent years. It goes on to just say, what a great guy this guy is. Extraordinary COVID approval level. This is another headline. And it says, an ordinary early life, which is true. This is why the minions grab this stuff, because it makes them like rock stars. Now it says, McGowan's life outside of work. McGowan has always labelled himself a family man. He once told the ABC he did not have enough time for hobbies, so he used his free time to play with his three children or walk the dog. Gosh, you did. He says, I like camping. There you go. I haven't been for a while, but I get a chance like I'd like to go. It's just, Now, let's go to the real reasons and what happened to him, where he ended up as a job. They're not saying in that article, because that article was back just as he quit. Now the real reason, apart from the very cushy job he ended up with, and I'll get to that. What I did is I did a Google search. I hate doing Google searches, but sometimes you need to see if they try to block things. Okay, I normally use Start Page and a VPN, obviously. But it says here, now what I typed in was McGowan death threats. I already have a whole bunch of them saved, but I wanted to see what Google has done with it. Here it is. March 6, 2022, Mark McGowan tells court of death threats from community. McGowan described the various threats made against him and his family throughout the pandemic, including a package containing white powder. And that was from theguardian.com. Then you got thedailymail.co.uk. February the 10th, 2022, Mark McGowan reveals vile way anti-vaxxers threatened his staff. And it said he received threats of his staff had received threats of rape, as well as intimidating and threatening messages. Then you've got 9news.com.au. This is the top searches, by the way. You can find them yourself. February the 9th, 2022, Western Australia Premier Mark McGowan received a fresh death threat yesterday, once again forcing the closure of his Rockingham office. Now, this went on and on. There are pages and pages and pages of death threats. The most popular premier ever? And it just goes on and on, people. So that's the the main reason he quit, because he didn't want to die at the top of his game. He wanted to disappear, and then guess where he ended up, people? To finally figure it out. And he's under the protection, that's right, of another billionaire. Wait for this. Okay, he's actually got four jobs, but this was the first one that was offered. So this is from, we'll get the date, May the 29th, 2023. So he didn't waste time. Breaking. Twiggy offers Mark McGowan a job on the mines. Andrew Twiggy Forrest, he's a rich billionaire that owns Fortescue Mining, has wasted no time offering Mark McGowan a lucrative job on the mines after WA Premier announced he would be stepping down from the role at the end of the week. Says news comes as another mining magnate is considering legal action to become the member for Rockingham. It says a spokesperson for Fortescue or FMG, I'm not sure what that stands for, told the Times that Twiggy would need to see what Mark was made of on a 2-1 drilling swing before moving him up to the boardroom to be invaluable use to the company. Adding, we understand that Marco had spent the afternoon looking into the required tickets for the job, a source close to the exhausted leader told the Times. So I'm just looking at this and thinking it's from the BellTowerTimes.com, but it's almost getting a bit comical reading it, how they're talking about it. So it looks like it's some sort of comedy site. Actually, not sure. So FMG, it sounds like it might be, just going to see what FMG, that might have been Fortescue Metals. That's what I'm thinking it stands for, because Twiggy is Andrew Forrest, who's a billionaire that owns the mining company. So anyway, he went there. But then it says later on in this other story that he's actually got, I'll see if I can find it again, four jobs. Where is it? Just scrolling through. I'm just doing a quick search. I mean, I've got all this saved, but I just wanted to see what Google has, because it is good how they change things around. It's great to see how they do it. Use archive.org to see all that too, by the way, people. It says he was in talks with BHP. So in other words, he's jumped ship simply because there's big bucks waiting from the other end. And I'm seeing if I can find it here where it says he's got the four jobs. But as soon as I saw that, I went, what? Four? That's a bit rough. Here we go. I found it here. It's from the AustralianFinancialReview.com, and it came out on October the 6th, 2023. Former West Australian Premier Mark McGowan, Mr. Magoo, will add another two private sector roles to his post-political career, including senior advisory position with Joe Hockey's consulting firm Bondi Partners. Fresh from accepting roles at mining giant BHP, oh he did, and Mineral Resources, Mr. McGowan will join the former treasurer and former ambassador to Washington's consultancy 5 months after his shock exit from state politics, citing exhaustion. What about the death threats? In an internal note to employees obtained by the Australian Financial Review, Mr. Hockey said the former Labor Premier would join his team as a senior advisor based in Perth and making the occasional visit to the East Coast and beyond. So what happened to Twiggy? So I'm going to see if I can scroll through to see what all the other ones are. About 3 months later, it said he reported to be in discussion with BHP about joining the mining giant. Now Mr. McGowan has at least four private sector gigs. Gigs, I love it. So I don't see any mention of Andrew Forrest hiring Magoo. And actually, I think I'm getting mixed up too, because I do remember that Gunner that did a runner, he's now working for Andrew Forrest. But I think that was a joke thing earlier. I think I fell for it. But no, he's not working for Andrew Forrest. In fact, they had a lot of run-ins because of the fact that Mr. Magoo locked down Western Australia. So it sounds like he's gone off to work for a mining company, but not Andrew Forrest. So ends the saga of Mr. Magoo in Western Australia, taken over by his former health minister, Roger Cook, who will obviously be profiled further down the track as I unveil the COVID rats of Oz. So stay tuned for that one next week as I continue on. Okay, people, so I'm at the end of the podcast. This is the Conspiracy Oz podcast for Wednesday, the 27th of December, 2023. Thanks for listening. Over and out.